Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus Christ. There is none other in heaven or on earth. Welcome to another episode of Hope in Christ with Denise, here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast, where we place our hope in the only hope there is, Christ our Lord.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. I am your host, Minister Denise, founder of Hope in Christ Ministries. Here at Hope in Christ, we are healthy, overcomers, purpose, and we maintain an eternal perspective as we seek our true identity in Christ Jesus. So again, thank you all for tuning in to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. We're going to be having a discussion tonight with an amazing author that I have the privilege of knowing and calling her my sister. And before we begin and bring her on, I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for this time and this opportunity to spread your word, O God. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are. We pray, O God, that someone would hear something said that will draw them to you. Father, we thank you for the platform. We thank you for being able to take the message of the cross to the world. We give you glory and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So again, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. So today we have an awesome, amazing woman of God that, again, I get the privilege of saying this is my sister and in Christ, my sister in Christ. And Tiffany Lindsay is an author. She's a speaker. And I call her a child advocate because she will go to war for the babies, and so will I. And so I am so excited to have Tiffany on. Tiffany, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
First of all, I have to say again, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be here. I love what my sister Denise is doing, what she stands for. Listen, if you've been tuning in, you already know, you understand exactly why. But just as she said, my name is Tiffany Lindsay. I reside in Houston, Texas. I am a wife, I am a mom, and I've been working with children for over a decade. So I've been in preschools. I've worked in public schools, charter schools. I've even worked at a homeless shelter, and I've also been an ABA therapist working with children that have autism. So many different areas, but my love for children and just, like Denise said, just being an advocate and just reminding people and bringing about awareness for who children are, how to treat them, and just how important they really are because they really do matter. So, yeah, I'm all about the kids. I'm about the kids.
Amen, amen. And so, Tiffany, can you tell us about your book? I mean, I'm familiar with it, but can you tell the audience about your book, The Root Remains? So tell us a little bit about your book.
Yes. So, y'all, I'm going to be very transparent. So it took me a while to write this book, and Denise knows because she helped me with the editing process. She, shout out to her. Like, if you need somebody to help you, if you know somebody that needs help, reach out to her because my sis, what have you, okay? But anywho, just going forward, The Root Remains is all about the seeds that we plant in our children. And, you know, a lot of times when we hear about seeds, we think about, you know, fruits, we think about vegetation, we think of gardening. You know, we think about those things, but we don't really think about our children and what we put into them. And so depending on the type of seed that we plant into them, depending on the type of seed that we nurture, that's what we're going to see in our children. So I have an analogy. Say you plant an apple seed, right? that apple seed grows, you nurture it and everything, and it eventually turns into an apple tree. But you don't want apples. You want oranges. But instead of seeing oranges that you want, because you planted an apple seed, that tree that you planted is going to yield apples, right? So it's the same concept with our children. It's like, you know, we're seeing the different behaviors. We're seeing the way they act. We're seeing the things they do. We're seeing the things that they don't do. And we're wondering why, okay, why is this happening? Well, the reason why it's happening is because a seed has been planted, you know, whether we know it or not. It's in the things our children see. It's in the things our children don't see. It's in the things our children hear, and it's in the things that they don't hear. Like, everything matters, and depending on what you nurture, depending on what you pour and give more life to, that's what you're going to see in our children. So I wrote The Root Remains because I wanted people to know that it's deeper than just taking off a fruit off of a tree and expecting to see, you know, different fruit. It's going deeper. It's going to the root. So that's why I wrote The Root Remains. It's, y'all, like, so many children are going through so many things, and there's a reason why. It's not just happening. It's not by happenstance. There's a reason for it. So I wanted to bring awareness for that.
Amen. And can you tell the audience a little bit about the layout of the book, the way you, where you have it laid out uniquely?
Yes. So, again, just transparency. I kind of struggled with how to put it out because it's not necessarily, it is a narrative, but just like Mrs. Denise said, with the way the layout is, so there's the prologue, and then there's the epilogue, but then in between, what you have is different characters. So each character, each child is going through a different thing, and so what it is, it's like, in a way, a very short journey in seeing things through the eyes of the adults that surround that child, but more so through the eyes of the child themselves. So that way you can get their viewpoint and their stance on what happened and where they are now. Because oftentimes we'll see, you know, the result, but we don't know how or why they ended up being the way that they are or where they ended up where they are now. So it follows each individual child, and it tackles several different things, from sexual abuse to emotional abuse, just different things that children may or may not face. Each child goes through their own journey, and they all have their own story to tell.
Amen, amen. And I had another question for you. The mm-hmm. question is, what is your goal for the book? If you could say one goal you have for this book, what would you say your goal is?
My goal would be to bring about awareness just for, like, if it reaches one person, like, if it makes one person to halt, if it makes one person to, you know, stop and think, whether it's a parent or whether it's a teacher, an educator, or even somebody that doesn't even work with children, as long as it makes an impact. You know, like, people can read the same book or people can have the same life experiences, but they'll take different things from it. So what I want is for anybody who reads to be able to take something away from it and to just bring about that awareness, so that way we can all be a lot more mindful and intentional with how we handle children, our own children, and even the children that we come across, whether we see them day in and day out or whether we just, you know, see them out on the street just walking by.
That's good. That's good. And so that leads to my next question. Are you planning to, or have you thought about creating workshops focused around the book for, like, school social workers, counselors, and even mentors, like mentoring groups, those that work with children. So have you thought about doing any types of workshops?
I definitely have. I have a lot going on, like different projects going on, but that's definitely something that I do plan on doing before the year is out, because I just, you know, with the book, but even, you know, beyond the book on social media, I'll even put different things about children, whether it's children and trauma, parenting, just different things like that. And just the responses and the reactions that I get, it, you know, just furthermore confirms that, okay, these are the discussions that need to be had. And, you know, I know Miss Denise, you know, she talks about it, and there are a few others that talk about it, but I don't think enough of us are talking about it for various different reasons. Like maybe it's because, you know, some of us are having to work through our own traumas, or just not wanting to necessarily speak up about the traumas that we've endured. But I think it's so important for it to be put out on the forefront of people's minds, and to be able to not only just, you know, speak what's on our heart, speak what we're passionate about, but to also educate, because everybody may not necessarily know or have the same experiences that I or Mrs. Denise have. So if we can help and show people, okay, this is what that looks like, or this is what you can do to try to help minimize how many children are going through traumatic experiences, then I say go for it. So I definitely plan on having a workshop coming very soon before this year's out, for sure.
Amen. And make sure you let me know. I would love to.
Oh, I will. I will. You are, listen, you are first, okay? Definitely. It's, oh, my goodness. Like, yeah, it's definitely been heavy on my heart. You know, I truly believe, like, we're all, you know, that God gives us all a burden, you know, something that burdens us so much, something that, you know, when we hear about it or when we see about it, it's like it stays with us, and it doesn't go away until, you know, we either speak about it, or more so until we do something about it. And when it comes to children and children that go through these experiences, that's definitely something that I've been burdened with, and to be able to help and do what I can. Like, I can't reach everybody, but, you know, I can reach somebody. We can all reach somebody. So if just one is impacted by what's said, then I'm all for it. I'm all for it. But you, yeah, I'm yes, I'll be reaching out to you ASAP for sure.
Amen. And as you were talking, I kept thinking about that word trauma. And that's the elephant in the room, you know, when we talk about that word trauma. But we both know that usually when if we don't deal with trauma in the childhood, then we become adults that have never dealt with that trauma. And our purpose keeps us from moving forward, and God is calling us to do something, but we're dealing with so much on the inside because the trauma is dealt with in the childhood. And so
exactly,
thank you for your work that you're doing with the children.
Definitely. Definitely. You're welcome. Yeah, it's it's like, you know, where do you, you know, when you think about trauma in children, it's like, where do you start? Because sometimes, you know, parents are supposed to, generally when you think of parents, you know, you think of guardians and leaders and different things like that. And it's like, okay, well, where are the parents? Why aren't the parents helping? Well, sometimes the parents aren't helping because they're trying to work through their own trauma, or they have their own trauma that they haven't gotten help for. So it's like, you know, how can you teach something that you haven't been taught yet? You know, so it's it's a really heavy topic, but, you know, it's just like you said, if you don't deal with it in your childhood, like it's going to come out. It's going to come out eventually, and it shows up in relationships. It shows up in the way we view people. It shows up in the way that we view ourselves. It shows up in different situations and different circumstances. And even as adults, you know, sometimes we wonder, okay, well, why am I that way, or why does this keep happening, especially when we tend to see the same patterns happening, and sometimes it's due to trauma that we haven't dealt with. So, and another thing is, because I'm actually in school right now, and my classes that I'm taking right now is actually, one of them is crisis and trauma counseling, and there's two different focuses where they focus in on children, and a lot of the stuff I did know, but just to go even deeper, it's like, wow, it's just so mind-blowing just how many of us have traumatic experiences, and not just, you know, traumatic experiences, but how also some of us suffer from PTSD. And, you know, everybody that has PTSD has suffered from a traumatic experience, but everybody that has suffered from a traumatic experience doesn't necessarily have PTSD. But a lot of times when you don't get the help for that, or you don't either go to counseling or go to therapy, or, you know, just there's no kind of resolve, then that's when you can definitely end up having PTSD. And, you know, in the book that I was reading from my class, they were saying, you know, as soon as crisis happens or as soon as something happens, like, you need to get help for your child immediately. Like, if there's no waiting for it. And I also learned about the cement effect. And the cement effect is, like, you know, pretty much what I said, making sure you reach whoever is in need, in this case of children, you reach them ASAP, because just like cement, it's going to be wet for a while, but after a while, it's going to eventually harden, and when things harden, then it's going to be harder to break it down. You know what I'm saying? So just the importance of when we notice our children having these experiences, and, like, even thinking sometimes it doesn't even have to be something big, like we're thinking, like, children go through loss, you know, they go through grief, they go through a lot of things, but we tend to see it on a grander scale versus, you know, a child, like, maybe moving away from where they grew up. That right there is a loss, because you're moving away from an environment, or a child maybe losing a pet. Like, you would think, oh, just go ahead and get another pet. Yes, you can, but again, you know, it's just like for us as adults, you can get something else, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to replace. Like, you can't necessarily do that. So there's so many different levels and so many different aspects when it even comes to trauma that, like, if, you know, if you don't educate yourself or even know how to educate yourself, then you just won't be aware. You won't be.
Yes, I agree. And I thought, as you were talking, I was thinking about how our mm-hmm. children have dealt with the trauma of this pandemic.
Yes.
Many of them have dealt with, I believe they're dealing with depression.
Yes. Yes.
And withdrawal, because there are mm-hmm. two things that we see that I didn't see before in kids mm-hmm. previously. And
yes.
So, but I think one of the things that, as you were talking, I thought about was, I have a student, and he will talk, and you can, everybody could be talking, somebody could be having a conversation, he will talk over everybody, and I kept saying, why does he do that? And I'm wondering mm-hmm. in my head, why does he do that? And what came to my spirit when you were talking is, he wants to be heard. And so our children want to be heard. They want to have their voices are taken away from them. And so
yes.
Even in the pandemic, they mm-hmm. just sometimes they'll sit in there talk to me because they're not being heard. And so that's a
yes,
problem.
Yes. So. Listen, we're definitely going to have to talk off, because I'm talking your head off. But, like, just to shorten, because I have so much to say about that, but just to piggyback off of what you said, so I'm at home now, but I was in a middle school, and I was a teacher's aide, and I'm not going to lie, I'm you know how I look, I'm petite, and I – was so used to working with younger children, those that are smaller than me, and so I was unsure about venturing into middle school because a lot of these kids are big, you know, and I didn't know how they would see me or if they would even respect me because of my size. But it's like the thing that I was worried about, that wasn't it at all. And instead, I was hit with being able to make connections with my students, like pulling me to the side. Hey, can I talk to you? Such and such and such and such. Like, I wouldn't even ask. Every now and then I would ask, but I'm also not the type of person to poke and prod because I feel like if somebody wants to open up to you, then eventually they will on their own. But I had so many of my students that would just come to me and tell me about different things, and it's like, wow. And a lot of times I wouldn't even respond because sometimes it's not in the response. They're not waiting for a response. They're just wanting somebody to listen. And then if they were asking, okay, what should I do or whatever, then I would respond. But a lot of times it was just me being that listening ear because just like you said, like who knows what they have going on at home? Who knows if anybody is willing to listen? Like we don't know. But, again, during this pandemic, there's been a lot of more things which we knew about. But because so many children are still at home learning virtually, it's like a lot of things are – literally being put in our face, whether we want to see it or whether we don't want to see it, you know, whether we want to believe that it's happening or whether we don't want to believe that it's happening. So, yes, that is so important, just being able to listen because they need that. They really do.
Amen, amen. And one other thing, as you were talking, I thought about also remembering that we can't necessarily protect our children like Christ can protect them, but we can be cautious. We can use wisdom,
yes.
And that comes from the Holy Spirit. So I don't know if you want to kind of expound on that as it relates to your the theme of your book.
Yes, definitely. So prayer is, oh my goodness, prayer is a must. Like the Holy Spirit guiding you and giving you that discernment. Like discernment is another thing that's so important because if we're just moving in our own might, you know, in our own power and trying to do everything on our own, it's not going to work. And if it does work, it may work for a little bit, but it's not going to last long and it's not going to be authentic. It's not going to be the way that God would have it to be. So making sure that we're not being led by, what does the word say, not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. It's when we're able to spend time with Him. It's when we're able to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's when we're able to be able to see things when it comes to the people that we interact with. We're able to see things when it comes to even the people that our children interact with, because we all know how children are. We were children ourselves, and just honestly, sometimes children don't see things sometimes the way that we see them. All they can see at times is, oh, well, this is my friend or whatever, but in being a parent, we see beyond that. We see what this friend is into. We see what this friend's parent is into and different things like that, and I know a lot of times we like to, I'm not going to say dumb things down when it comes to our kids as far as church goes, but I believe that we definitely need to stop underestimating our children. There is no baby Holy Spirit. There's no baby nothing. Like, it's God. It's Jesus. So being able to teach our children the word as it is, because they are so smart and they'll get it. You may have to explain it in a different way. You may have to do a different activity so they can get it. You may have to do it in a song. You're just going to have to reach them the way that reaches them best, and it may not necessarily be the way that we are taught as adults, because you know, it's like when we go to church and usually when we're there, it's like we sit and then we're given the word. Now the preacher or speaker, whoever is talking, they may give, you know, different analogies as well also, but as you know, with our kids and with their attention span, they need more. So it may take them getting up and moving. It may take them actually partnering up and doing different things, but that's a whole another topic. But just all I want to say, like, do not be afraid to, like, teach your children. Like, don't, and you, and even with ourselves, like, don't be afraid to learn as well. Like, I say you should always be a student. I don't care where you are in life. You should always be willing to learn. And so that's how I look. I'm not too proud at all. I will be very humble in realizing, okay, if it's something I don't know or if it's something I need to learn, I'm going to figure it out. And if I can't figure it out on my own, then we're about to figure it out together. So, yes.
Amen, amen. I agree. I totally agree. Now, I have another question that you probably haven't thought about, but I wanted to ask you, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
Ooh. 5 years from now. I really haven't thought about this. This is a very good question. I definitely see myself with more books published. I would actually like to create a journal for children to work through and write in. So definitely having that together specifically in other books, and even possibly because of the need that I feel just with all of that, possibly thinking that the workshop is something that happens yearly. So possibly getting to the point where that becomes even bigger. And also even, This is very good. Like detail besides that, I'm really not sure. But all in all, like whatever God has planned, like I'm yielding. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Let's go, because I'm realizing that, you know, just over the years, I've tried to plan out so many things. First of all, I never even wanted to work with children. It's not that I didn't want to. It just wasn't in my plan. So I went to school initially for something completely different. But, listen, you can run away, but you can't hide. So when I finally said yes and when I was finally obedient and being led and called to work with children, it's been blessing after blessing. It's been experience after experience. And because of the different yeses, because of the different experiences, that's where the root remains was birthed. That's where I'm able to go ahead and get the knowledge and the wisdom that I have. And I'm just hoping and believing that it just goes up from here. That's what I'm hoping. And that's what I'm going to believe.
Amen. I believe it. And as you were speaking, I was thinking about, we've all tried to run. And like, God will let you just beat your head on that tree. And
over
you at the same tree.
That's it.
Until he say, okay, you finish. You're going to be obedient now. And so we've all been
That's
there,
it.
And then obedience comes, and like I say, obedience is better than sacrifice. And so
and so
that is absolutely awesome what you're doing. I know you talked about your desire to do a journal for children. Are there any other projects that you would like to do, or are you working on at this moment?
Well, at this moment, so I actually just started my business. So this was also inspired by the children that I work with in the past. But so, you know, you hear a lot about businesses, coaching for businesses. You hear about relationship coaches and wellness coaches and things like that. But you don't really hear too much about coaching for children. Now, I have heard, but you don't see it too often. I was like, wait a minute, why not offer a service for children? So I have recently opened up Hand to Heart Coaching, and it is for children ages 5 to 14, and it's just working alongside with children and their parents and helping them in whatever assistance that they need. So I do not, say it again, I do not operate as a counselor or a therapist. It's not what I do at all, but I do know and I have been networking with different counselors and therapists for anybody that does need to dive a little bit deeper than what we can do. But I definitely do help children. And if anybody is interested, feel free to check out HandToHeartCoaching.com. And, yeah, that's a new venture. And I'm so, so excited to be able to do that because I felt like in the last position that I was at, yes, I was helping children reading, special education, but I was also that listening ear. And to be able to now offer that service year round it's just making my heart smile.
Hey man, look at God. How he'll bring us back around and say, okay, here,
yes,
what don't you do in the first place? That's good.
Yes, hey. Exactly.
And I question about Hand to Heart is, I know you're in the Houston area, but are you doing anything virtual for people in other states? That just kind of came to my mind when you were speaking.
I sure am. So because of the pandemic and everything, I'm solely doing everything virtually. So whether anybody is in Houston, whether you're in New York, whether you're in Canada, it's perfectly fine because I'm doing everything virtually online. So distance is not a problem.
Amen. And tell them how they can contact you for your services and also how they can purchase your book.
Yes. So you can check out my book. You can purchase on, you can go to HandToHeartCoaching.com for the book as well as to be able to reach out to me for an appointment. And I do want to add that everybody who's interested gets a free consultation, so that's free of charge. So even if you're unsure, please don't hesitate to reach out because during that consultation, that's when we'll figure out, okay, what is it that your needs are and if I'll be able to help you meet those needs. And if it's a goal, whether it's a goal or not, it's just being able to figure out how it is that we can work together. So that's completely free if anybody is on the fence or anything. But even if you want to just shoot me an email, feel free to email handtoheartcoaching@gmail.com.
Amen. And also tell them how to connect with you on social media.
Yes. So I am on Instagram, and then there's also a Facebook page. And you can look up the Facebook page, Hand to Heart Coaching, as well as the Instagram page is the same, Hand to Heart Coaching. Just put that in and you should be able to find me.
Amen. Thank you for coming on and sharing. And you know you're always welcome whenever you want to come back. Is there any closing remarks that you want to share with the audience?
Yes, really just whether you're a parent, whether you're a teacher, or even if you don't have children but you're around them, just to, like, if you need to look a little harder, if you need to listen a little longer, and if you need to reach out, because you'd be surprised what children are waiting to tell you. You'd be surprised what children are wanting. So sometimes, you know, we're so caught up in our own things that we tend to miss out or look past. So if you just take a little bit longer and just stop and notice, then I'm sure you'll see something.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm going to pray us out. And again, thank you for joining us. Father, we
thank you for having me.
Father, we thank you for your woman of God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, O God, for the work you have her hands doing and the work you're doing through her. Lord, we pray that you would expand it, you would multiply it, so that children all around the world will be blessed by Tiffany's ministry. Father, we thank you for her life. We thank you for her family. We pray for provision in the name of Jesus. God, we pray that somebody heard something she said, a parent, a social worker, someone heard what she said about paying attention. And we thank you, Lord God, for you give children to us as gifts. And so we thank you, Lord God, that you called us to love them, care for them, and guide them and guard them in the name of Jesus. So, God, we thank you and we praise you for all that you have and all that you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Amen.
And again, thank you all for tuning in to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. Have a phenomenal rest of your week.